Today on Real Life Radio.
Now, I don't see the difference much in myself. You don't see much of a difference in you. But somebody who knew you BC, you know BC, before Christ, those BC days, they go, my, how you have changed. What are they admitting? They don't even know what they're admitting, but this, you're more like Jesus.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Faith on Fire, begins in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. God wants us to be on fire for Him, to have a kind of faith that cannot be hidden, and a kind of surrender that makes us real Christians. We don't need to panic as the world gets darker. It is an opportunity for us to burn as a light to a fallen and lost generation. And you know, there really is a great need today for the church to be ablaze, to catch the passion of God's Word and let it purify our souls. For when we hold fast to the Word of life, it creates within us a desire to serve Him with all of our hearts. And then, just like the Apostle Paul, we can rejoice, knowing that we are not laboring in vain. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we are recreated by God to share the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. To take on the attributes of God means to become more like Him. And the more we are like Him, the more we're consumed by His love and want to tell others about it. And now, here's Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
That you may become blameless and harmless children of God. So what does this burning lead to? It causes this, so that you and I would be consumed. We are not only inviting the Lord to come in and to make sure that our faith is something that cannot be hidden. The fact of the matter is, if we're going to be preparing ourselves to be burned, that is, God have full control and full exposure to me, then whatever is needed, Lord, consume me with that. That we may mark it in your Bible, circle it, that we may become. Circle the word become. It's the word that encapsulates growing, discipling, nurturing, becoming, going from one stage to another, that we may become. What is that? More like Jesus, being blameless and harmless. And here's the amazing, wonderful news to the It should be news to all of us that excites us, and that is children of God. Listen, when I say it should excite us all, listen, we live in a world that lies to us. Listen, people, many will say, oh, we're all just children of God. You ever heard that before? By the way, way back in the 40s and 50s, there was the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. It was a cult. We're all God's children. Do you know the Bible does not say that? Maybe you've picked that up somewhere, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible does not say we're all God's children. Jesus said, and I'll just paraphrase for time's sake, in John chapter 8, verse 42 to 44, Jesus said, those who do not believe in Him, they are of their father, the devil. Man, I came here on a Sunday morning to be insulted like this? Well, you don't have to stay insulted. You can become a believer in Jesus. You can change families. You can change teams. The Bible says we are the children of God or children of Satan. And the Bible says that until we have faith in God, we are not His child. Wow. We need to come and be consumed in His presence, that you may become. It's this word speaks of a spiritual birthmark of the child of God. What does that mean? It's simple. It means this, that now that I'm a Christian, as being a child of God, you see these characteristics, blameless and harmless. Amazing. Watch this. It simply means this, that I take on the attributes of my new father. We have our father's eyes. We have our father's words. We see someone and we say, my, that reminds me of their father. As Christians, we are to now speak like our father. Jesus said, I do everything my father has told me to, and I speak only that which my father has told me to speak, given me to speak. So how are we to live and how are we to speak? Exactly as Jesus shows us. And so listen, our new spiritual birthmark is that person acts like Jesus. No, we're not perfect. We fail all the time. But here's the news. We know it now. We love him. We want to be more like him. And the Bible says, listen, this is awesome to me, that as we walk with Jesus, as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God, and we begin to do what the moon does every night. The moon reflects the light of the sun. I begin to reflect more Jesus. The longer I walk, the closer I walk, the more I learn and listen to him. Listen, the more I reflect, the more I sound like him, the more I look like him. You say, Jack, you got a long way to go. I understand that. But listen, I'm not the person I used to be. And I pray that a year from today, I will be completely different than the man I am right now. We are growing, all of us, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are to be consumed by him. So Lord, we would come before you, we would pray and say, Lord, I want to be consumed with the person of who you are. I want to have faith on fire. And God, my faith is a living, active, vibrant faith. And I want you to be consuming me, God, that only that which is of me is of you. That's what I want. That's what you want. That's why you're here, I trust. Regarding this spiritual birthmark of the new family, blameless and harmless. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says what those birthmarks are, that the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit is love. If God is working in my life, I'm going to become more loving. Now, look. In the book, Mere Christianity, by C.S. Lewis, he says we fall into a fault zone when we say, well, that person's not very loving. And he says we need to be careful because we say he's not very loving. He's a Christian, he's not very loving. But C.S. Lewis says, but what was the person like before he became a Christian? See, when we say, well, you're not very nice, that person might be highly offended because she's much nicer now than she was before she was a Christian. Isn't that great? That's a wise way to look. Well, boy, you're not true. I'm not, but I'm not what I was. So when the Bible says one of the birthmarks, according to Galatians 5, is love, isn't it amazing? Can you, listen, self-examination time, can you confess that you are more loving toward others now than you were when you first became a Christian or before you were a Christian? I can honestly report, yes, I am. It ain't much compared to what I would like. You see, are you with me on this dilemma? You might say, if you and I went to high school, and that's always embarrassing, there's people who always come and visit the church. Hey, Jack, remember we went to junior high together? It's like, I've been trying all my life to forget that that ever happens. But they see a difference. Now, I don't see the difference much in myself. You don't see much of a difference in you. But somebody who knew you BC, you know BC, before Christ, those BC days, they go, my, how you have changed. What are they admitting? They don't even know what they're admitting but this. You're more like Jesus. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit does that in you. That's God at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's at work. So love, Galatians 5:22, joy. I agree, by the way, with some of the old Puritan scholars. They say the fruit, notice, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. It's not plural, it's singular. I believe this is exactly what it means. That the fruit of the Spirit is love, period. There shouldn't be a comma. It's a period. It's singular, love. Because if you have love, you're going to have joy. You can't have joy and not have love. And love is the greatest thing. God is out of love, joy comes. Peace comes. Long-suffering comes. Kindness comes. Goodness comes. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Look what the Bible says. Against such, there's no law. Galatians 5:22 and 5:23 trumps the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? That's what it means. The Ten Commandments, the greatest thing. It's true. Great. Displays the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. Can't save you, but the love of God can. And when God's love takes hold of your heart, changes everything. Look, you can approach those the fruit of the Spirit. You can say like this, watch. You can say, I'll do that, I'll do that. I'll love you, I'll have joy. I've decided I'm gonna have peace. And the Lord knows I have long suffering putting up with you. You can go through all of that list and you can say, I'm gonna be gentle. And guess what? You completely fail. You can dot all the I's and cross all the T's and completely fail if it's not the love of God at work. You can be, to man's eyes, perfect, but not to God. And then finally, we'll have to end at this verse 15. It's that we need to be prepared to be seen. Faith on fire is a faith that cannot be hidden. So listen, we need to prepare to be seen. It says, without fault in the midst, underline that, that we are to be without fault, I'll explain that in a second, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Church, will you say amen? Do we live in a crooked and perverse generation? Oh my goodness. I don't get out much. But the other day, yesterday, Lisa and I were watching a show because we wanted to see these cute little animals or whatever the thing was going to be on there, and just transitioning to the program, there's commercials! We don't watch much TV anymore. We use computer stuff now for TV, so there's hardly any commercial. And there's a commercial! And it's like, turn your eyes, look away. And by the way, everything is either you need to sue somebody for the bad drug that you took, or drugs for sexual reasons. Take this drug for sexual purposes. After it destroys your life, then stay tuned to the next commercial and you know what attorney to buy for killing yourself. But it's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. And then what they have to do to sell a burger these days. It used to be a hamburger was enough. Now they've got to go, they have to almost make it pornographic to buy a hamburger on these commercials. What is wrong? We live in a crooked and perverse generation. So what are we supposed to do? Well, note this, first of all, it says that we're to be without fault. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we're perfect. It means that when the world accuses us, the accusation can't stick. Isn't that great? Think about it. You're going to be accused of stuff. Listen, friend, wake up. Here's the deal. We're going to end on a big kaboom here. Listen, the world, if you're a Christian and you go public with your faith and you burn, listen, you're going to be seen. And people will hate you. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to fabricate stuff. They did it to Jesus. They did it to Paul. They did it to the apostles. They're going to do it to you. And they're going to make stuff up and they're going to splash it all over the internet, or they're going to blab about it or blog about it. Listen, expect it. Just make sure that whatever they say isn't true. That's your job. God will be your defense. Without fault, in the midst of, I love this. Where are Christians supposed to go? Right into the darkness. Oh, I should have worn different clothes today. I should have worn like combat clothes. You know? Where are we supposed to go as Christians? We're supposed to go into a dark world where we can be seen, where our faith is on fire. We walk into a dark world. Listen, the Bible says that we're in this world, but we're not of it. Listen, the people that are dying in the dark, we need to go there. We need to shine, not become like them. Show them the way out. Hey, follow me, says the fireman in the burning fire. Remember that wonderful police officer when the terrorist attack was taking place in San Bernardino? You see the video, he walks in there and he says, hey, everybody, come follow me. I'll lead you out and I'm going to get you out of this building. And over my dead body, no one's going to hurt you. I'll take care of you. Let's go. That was an awesome clip. You ought to look at that. That's how the Christian ought to be. We're to go into the dark. In the midst of Hollywood, the Christian is parachuted in. In the midst of, you name it, where the Christian drops in. Not flees, not runs away. We're to be deployed. Among whom we shine as lights in the world. What an awesome, profound thing. We're to be seen. Christians are not to be invisible. We're to be seen. That we shine as lights in the world. Notice where the church is to be, at the epicenter of the darkness. Do you know anything wrong going on? Hey, listen, we were reminded this week locally of some things that are going on statewide in our public school. I'm going to be bringing you, making you aware of it. It's going to blow your minds. What's now happening in our public school systems from border to border in this state, you don't even know about it. And yet your kids are going to be forced to watch it in school. We're going to show it to you. It's going to offend, not now. It's going to offend so many of you because it is the content is explicit. It is dark. And your third grader is supposed to start watching it. And I'm debating in my mind, the reason why you're not seeing it today, even though it would have fit perfect with this verse 15, is, gosh, is it the right date? Could it even be shown on a Sunday? But then I thought, wait a minute. Our kids are being strapped to their desk and required. Maybe that's what's wrong with the church. Our faith is so frail and fragile. It's so anemic that if we jumped out of an airplane to be deployed into the darkness, we would just hang on to the plane. No, you know what? We're to get into it. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. We were recreated by God to not be hidden. Oh, I don't mean to upset you, but I know there's these ads and stuff you see about, or the commercial that you hear on the radio. And it's like, imagine living in a mountaintop setting with pristine this and that and the water. And we all heard that stuff. And are you nearing retirement? Have you considered Florida? And I thought about that for a moment for the Christian. We're not to escape. Now look, I'm not saying, if you just signed up to move to Florida, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, you should, no, but look, if you bought land in Florida and you're going to retire on the thing there, then you just go there and you be a Christian, okay? You just shine your light to all those old people, get them saved, they're just this close to eternity anyway, preach them the gospel, make sure they hear it. So you go, you're not going to go retire, you're going to be a Christian and you're going to go to a retirement area. Okay, Christians don't retire. We don't retire from being a Christian. Oh, God, two more days as a Christian and I'm retired. I got my 35 years. It's over. No. And I'm wondering, what would it sound like if God was deploying us to anywhere, everywhere, situated high atop a dung heap, right in the middle of a dark and perverse city? Is the perfect place for you with rampant materialism, self-centeredness, and false religions abound. This is the ideal spot for you. Imagine encountering the walking dead every day while you have the never-ending opportunity to tell others about the love of God who are hurting and having no hope. So escape from boring Christianity. This is real living. This is real Christianity. Call 1-800, you know, sign me up. I don't care where you go. There's the dead. There's the wounded. It is dark. It is perverse. Say, Pastor, I can't take it anymore. The world is so dark. No, 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 wait. Listen. Today's Mother's Day, right, moms? Right? See, why do I bring that up? Because, listen, if you're going to buy your mom today on Mother's Day a diamond ring, right, moms? Have you noticed when you go to buy the ring, they always pull it out of the case and they quickly drape a black velvet thing behind it. And they make sure the light is right on it a certain way. Have you noticed that? Look, you ought to just do it. And you see what they do. Oh, are you interested in this? Oh. What's that? Black velvet, light's just right, and they go like this so it hits you in the eye. Look. Oh, this is really a good one. Listen, if you take the black velvet background away and you just look at the ring, it's not so hot. It's not so great. It really takes on life when it's against the dark. The Christian really, really shines. The Christian really, really can be seen when it's dark. And it's dark. Jesus said, hurry up. Do the works of God now before night comes. Because it's coming. This is an amazing time to be alive. But Jack, America, listen, America's going to come and America's going to go. But you're a Christian. Your politics endures forever. Jesus is your king. He's on the throne. And listen, the very reason for what you're living and for whom you're living for is never alterable by the things of the background. No, the truth of the matter is, friends, God's word in you causes you to catch fire. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, this morning as it were a dedication service. We rededicate our lives to you this morning. We didn't get very far in this, but that's okay. The point is, we need to repent now of our complaining and our illogical disputes. We need to repent of our self-counsel. We need to repent of even harboring and nurturing justifiable hurts. We've really been hurt, and the walls that we've built up against that make perfect sense to us, but not you. You didn't build any walls between us and you. You tore them down, in fact. So much so that you came and became one of us. Your Bible tells us that you even became sin for us so that we might receive the righteousness of God. So, Father, today we're asking you, we the believer, we're asking you to cause the ignition, the spark within us of true biblical faith, that we would draw near to you, and the closer we get, the more we would burn, the more that we would be consumed, and the more that you would be seen through us to a world that is dark and needing rescue. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Faith on Fire. Thank you for listening. Our hope is that God ignites you in a burning desire to bring the good news to all you meet that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, I'm excited about this new book, Temptation. Tell us about that, would you?
Yeah, Davey, listen, just put out a book, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. And if you look at it, it's intentionally small. I think it's less than 100 pages or at about that.
Yeah, true.
And this one deals with temptation. Everyone's tempted.
Mm, yeah.
But we look real close at Luke chapter 4 and Jesus giving us point-by-point instruction on what to do when we're tempted.
Awesome.
So I think this is going to be a very, very practical, fun book. When I say fun, because you're going to come away with it equipped. And we're excited about this. And it comes in book form, as I'm holding right now. And it also comes as an ebook. So, yep, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life.
Can we dig into the title just a bit, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life?
I think one of the most profound things that a Christian wakes up to is that they become keenly aware that they're being tempted.
Yeah.
From the moment you're a new believer, you wake up to, before you used to flow with temptation. But a believer, it's one of the hallmarks of evidence that you are a true believer, is that you now recognize temptation. So this book will walk you through some of the subtleties of our enemy. And it is the battle of your life because it's never going to stop until the day you see Jesus.
Wow.
So yeah, we're excited about it. It's extremely practical and it's kind of fun. At the end, there's ask yourself portions.
Mm.
Ask yourself, is this going on in your life? Ask yourself, do I recognize any of these things I just read that are happening to me?
Yeah.
Ask yourself, do I need to get further help in this area? It's pretty fun.
So this is sort of like a how to deal with temptation toolkit, if you will.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, yep, Temptation, The Battle of Your Life.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.